To order for our afternoon session, the closing session of the convention. May we begin by turning to the hymn of our speaker's request, hymn number 230. As the convention program had been arranged, we originally had scheduled Brother Norman Rice of Salem, Oregon, to be serving at this time. For the benefit of the brethren who may not be aware of the fact, Sister Rachel Rice had an emergency appendectomy and was confined to the hospital unexpectedly, and Brother Norman, of course, was not able to be with us because he wanted to be close by Sister Rachel. Brother Norman called last night after we tried unsuccessfully to reach him, and just as we put the phone down and got ready to retire for the evening, the telephone rang, and it was Brother Norman on the other end of the wire. And he said that Sister Rachel is resting comfortably. She was on antibiotics. She was taking off of these, and her temperature began to escalate. So apparently she does have some portion of the infection left, and they're going to treat her for that before releasing her. They sent their Christian love to the convention, and so we delivered again this time for those brethren that weren't here to receive of it earlier. Now, we praise and thank our Heavenly Father how He overrules in each of our experiences. Originally, we had invited Brother Herchuk to be with us. Brother Herchuk wasn't sure of his schedule, so he said, leave a spot open on the program for us. Well, as it happens, we do have an opening on the program. Brother Herchuk, who is a elder of the Winnipeg, Canada Bible Students Ecclesia, has consented to fill in this portion and to be with us at the convention in fellowship. So we're very happy indeed to have Brother Herchuk here and Sister Wanda and the other brethren that joined with us. Brother Herchuk has selected a very interesting subject, and I'm sure that we'll heed his instructions very carefully. The title of his subject is Likened Unto. Likened Unto. Brother Walter.
Thank you, Brother Ed. Dear brethren, as Brother has just mentioned, Sister Wanda and I are very happy to be here with you in convention. Also our son David, and there's a few more that are from Winnipeg. We were with you for a few moments last year on our way from Chicago, and we're happy to be here with you today. It's always a joy to be with our brethren, and this year we thank the Lord that He gave us the opportunity that we had we visited many brethren throughout Canada and the United States. And our schedule for after this convention, we have a number of places to be at. The brethren from Chicago have said the Polish convention, the brethren from the Polish convention have sent their love to all of you here in convention in Rockford. We had a blessing there for 2.5 days, and we remember when the brethren from Chicago came to Canada and helped us, and many of them are passing on, so we thought that we'd like to do something in return for them to help them, to encourage them. And they encouraged us, and we are trying to encourage them and also to receive a blessing from them. As we see, the brethren are getting on in age, and we don't want to forget our young brethren, and we don't want to forget our older brethren. We don't want to forget any of our brethren. As brothers mentioned, our subject for today will be likened unto. And we read... in relationship to this, Matthew 7:26, we will just quote a few texts to confirm our topic. Matthew 7:26, we read, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." Then we read in Matthew 13:24, similar words, and we read in another parable, "Put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in the field." In the 18th chapter and the 23rd verse, we read, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." And in the 25th chapter, this one that you're all familiar with, and we read, 25th chapter in the first verse, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." So these are pictures or illustrations of our growth in the truth from the time that we consecrated our lives to serve the Lord. And there are different illustrations or different pictures given to us in the Bible by which we may grow. We can not only just be patient or not just say that we want to have love, but we have to grow in all the graces of the Holy Spirit. And then there are other illustrations that we have in the Bible. We are likened unto jewels, unto stones, living stones. We are likened unto sheep. We are likened unto a bride. Salt, laborers in the vineyard, servants, children, virgins, light, soldiers, fruit trees, living letters, and palm trees. Very, a lot of illustrations and pictures of our growth in the Lord, taken from different viewpoints. And today we'd like to discuss some of these and to help us that we may strive to be, to grow more in the likeness of our dear Lord. We know that there are various vessels that the Lord has, that He has created. He has created man, angels, and we know that there are vessels unto honor and dishonor, and we believe the highest honor, the vessels of the highest honor will be the church, the 144,000, with Jesus as their head, who will be the great light, you may say, or the beautiful vessels that will be in this gospel age have become into the likeness of Jesus. So with these different illustrations, we'd like to dwell on some of them. I don't know if we'll be able to cover all of them, but we'd like to dwell on some of them, and that it may help us to see our own growth in the Lord. Now, when we are likened unto jewels, and we know that jewels are very brilliant, they are very beautiful, and they're very hard. Now, those that are in the truth, they cannot be like putty. They must be of a hard nature. Or we may say that their faith must be very strong. They cannot be blown about by every wind of doctrine. They should be well rooted in the doctrines of the Bible, or the present truth as we understand it, as we look at our divine plan of the ages, which helps us to understand our position in God's sight. We know that there are the different realms in the plan. There's a church, the great company, Israel, and the world. And if we become one of the greatest, of one of those jewels which will shine as it did on the high priest's breastplate, and become one of those that will be the blessers of the world, So how careful must we be in our walk, everyday walk in the footsteps of our Lord and Master. And we'd like to turn to Malachi, 3rd chapter in the 17th verse, which mentions something to us about about jewels. In the day that the Lord will make up his jewels. And we believe that the day is referred to as the gospel age, in which God is selecting from among mankind some of the poorest and meanest in the eyes of the world, but he's selecting from among mankind, you and I, who have come from different walks of life, and he's making out of us one of those jewels. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So here we see that they are very precious in the Lord's sight. We'd like also to turn to Isaiah, the 61st chapter, 61 and 10, in reference to these jewels. We know that there are many types of jewels. There are some that are soft and some that are hard. We know that the crystal, the pearl, the diamonds, they're very precious. And we have these mentioned in the Bible. And Isaiah 61 and 10 tells us that we, and the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls and thy kings. 61:10, Isaiah. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul that shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. And how beautiful, we know that when a bride is being prepared, or our sisters, or especially worldly people, when they adorn themselves with jewels, it does look beautiful. So in relation to this, it's not only that we do this literally, but it refers mostly to our character, dear brethren, that we should be lovely in character, that we may be the living letters, that we may be read of all men. And people seeing us and knowing us, they should know who we are. We should really try to be the example of our Lord, and we should be polite. And we should be radiant with the message of truth. We should try not to be rude. And that those that know us, they'd like to be with us. And it so happens that there are some brethren, we'd like to be with them all the time. And some may be a little rough with us. But we should try to be polished as the jewels. And it requires a lot of polishing. And this goes back to our consecration, brethren, our daily walk in the footsteps of the Lord, and we get the polishing in our everyday life. It could be from anyone. It could be in the family. It could be in the class arrangement. It could be with a brother. It could be from an outsider. But the Lord is preparing, as we have the other picture of the stones of the temple, where they were being cut out in the quarry and prepared and just delivered to the site of the temple and laid together. So before the church will be with her Lord, all the chiseling and polishing will be done on this side of the veil. And I'm sure you and I, we have these experiences. And sometimes they're very, very trying experiences. They're very fiery experiences. Sometimes we cry. sometimes we pray and we don't always get an immediate answer, because probably through fire, through problems in our lives, this is the only way we can lose the dross that's everything that is clinging to us, which is not acceptable in the Lord's sight. So the Lord is doing His polishing with these jewels. And you and I, we have one experience, then that passes by, and we seem to think, well, that should be the end of that, and then another one comes up. And it seems that every experience that we do have seems to be greater than the one previous to it. And it's only a continuation of the process of polishing the jewels, that they may become more lovely, more radiant. And I'm sure that as we carry on in our Christian walk, dear brethren, we see that this is true, that we try to become better. We try to overcome our little faults, our little secret faults. And we must take a stand and say, look, I've been a little jealous. I should try to correct that. I didn't see things the way I saw them before. And as we grow, dear brethren, we learn. We learn through these experiences. And we try not to be discouraged. And as the Bible tells us, the Revelation 3:10, that we have to practice patience, which we all lack. And yet there we have the great promise in Revelation 3:10 that if we... Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world. And there is a great temptation upon all the world. There's in every sense of the word, to try them that dwell upon the earth. And this mainly refers to the brethren, to the consecrated, and yet also the world has various experiences. We see this on television, we see the troubles in the world, and we see that the old order is just coming down, unrest in every part of the country. And we rejoice only in the fact that we know that the Lord is preparing for the earthly phase of the kingdom. We know that our Lord, present since 1874, unseen to the world, come as a thief in the night, and we have to accept this by faith, brethren, because many brethren are falling on this point of the presence of the Lord. And I'm sure that we have many visible evidences of the presence of our Lord, but yet, as time goes on, and some say, well, it's over 100 years since our Lord is present, so I'm just wondering, and some may be doubting if that is still true. But if our faith is strong, and if we are hard as jewels, as diamonds, and we know a diamond is one of the hardest substances, and it's also used to cut other metals, to cut stone, to cut hard rock. And those that are in the truth must be very strong in the Lord, a very peculiar people, strong and yet filled with love. Their hand, their foot is just leading us, dear brethren, in the right path that we may serve the Lord. Sometimes we have many obstacles. Sometimes we have many experiences that are very trying to us. And yet we have to watch our conduct in all these affairs that we may still be radiant and shine forth the image of Jesus. We have to reflect the character and image of our Heavenly Father and Jesus. We believe the first jewel that was here on earth besides Adam was our Lord. He was a perfect example. The gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth. No man spake like Jesus spoke. The apostle goes on to tell us in 1 Peter 2:4-9. 1 Peter 2, 4-9, these words in reference to stones. And he tells us, First Peter, second chapter, 4-9. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Jesus, a stumbling block to the Jews. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And as a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And not only do we do this in our class, but we should also do this as a witness work. We believe that the main work is to be within ourselves, to grow in the likeness of Jesus, to help our brethren. This is our main work. Our secondary work is to let this light shine to others in what, by what, whatever medium possible, whether it be through a letter, through a telephone to someone, through the printed page, through radio, through television, or whatever opportunity means an opportunity we have, we should let the light shine, not only to our brethren, because there are some brethren that tell us that, well, we should not mix with the world. Well, we do not mix with the world. No. We're in convention here, and we just gather with those of like precious faith. We have nothing to do with the world. We go to work, we go to our office, we meet with worldly people, we know how to conduct ourselves and conduct ourselves accordingly. But other than that, we have a work that is to be done. As Jesus says, a work while it is called day, because the night cometh when we will not be able to work. And we just like to mention the privileges that we have in Winnipeg, and I'm sure you have them here, that we have, we advertise literature in various newspapers, in the Ukrainian language, in the Polish language, and in the English language. We have radio in English and Ukrainian, and also we started on May the 6th in the Polish language, and we have very good results. The brethren from Chicago have a suggestion was made that they have programs on in the United States, but we thought maybe we'd introduce them into Canada. We're starting with Winnipeg, and since May the 6th, we got 12 letters, and people have been sending in some money, and there's some that have written us very interesting letters that they've never heard about God's plan of salvation for all mankind. We're very happy for this. And we're very happy that we could let others know about the truth, to lift up a standard, that they may rejoice. And the last words in the first volume is, lift up a standard for the people, found in Isaiah. And this is our work, brethren. We have to be, be about our Father's business. And this is why we consecrated. And in your ecclesias, when you have your meetings, and you can find ways and means of serving the Lord in whatever way possible, whether it's through a cassette service, tape service, or the brethren, the visiting brethren, or maybe visiting the sick. In any way possible, we should strive to serve the brethren and let forth the light of, if we are one of these diamonds, one of these jewels, let the light shine forth. Let us not be idle. because time is quickly slipping away. And we're happy that we have this privilege. We're happy that we could be at convention. And I always stress the point that if you ever have a chance to go to a convention, go to a convention. Make time for that. Make a reservation for it. And go to a convention. You'll always receive a blessing. I know this has been my experience. First Corinthians 3:9-17. We'll just read part of it. We'd like to touch on some other aspects of this likened unto, as we are likened unto. 1 Corinthians 3:9-17. We read, "For we are laborers together with God." Truly so. "We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And we must take heed. And to build, in the sense, when we came to the truth, we should read our volumes and make sure you know them. Read them once, twice. Read them many times. Now, someone has mentioned to me, "Well, this is fine. What about our brethren during the gospel age? They didn't have the volumes. They didn't have the divine plan of the ages. Well, how did they grow?" Well, we believe these were different periods of times. There were angels sent to the, there were the seven messengers, each sent to the different churches. But we think, especially at this time of the age, of so much deceit and so much being the end of the age, the Lord has helped us especially that we may know the stream of time we are living in and give us a little more aid, because we could be confused. You open the television today and you see so many religious programs. You open up your radio and you hear so many different voices. And yet the Lord says that we will hear His voice. We will play His harp with the 10 strings. All the doctrines of the ransom of salvation for all. And isn't it a beautiful picture that once we become to know plan, God's plan of salvation? And I don't think there's any religion except Bible students who have this clear message of truth, which can, as a balm of Gilead, to bind up the broken hearts. Even the JWs have deviated so far from the truth that we must be very careful. So Revelation tells us just 144,000 were able to learn this song. It's a special song. Song of Moses and the Lamb. Of salvation, dear brethren. We see people growing old. We see so many funerals. When we were still young, we don't think too much about the future. But as time goes on, and we see when we go to a funeral, and this does touch our hearts. And that is why when we do have funerals, we try to give the best witness possible, that others may know and learn about God's plan of salvation, because many people do not know. And the apostle tells us, how will they know if they do not have a speaker, someone to tell them, a preacher? So this is our message. Not only the elders, but every brother and sister can go out and preach to their neighbors, near and far, by letter, by phone, any way possible, by sending a tract and letting them know about the kingdom. This is our hope. This is our dear hope, and we're so happy for it, that God has this beautiful plan of salvation for all. And He's not a jealous God. He's inviting others to share His immortality, 144,000. But He will be very selective who He places, that they may be obedient forever and ever. So you and I, dear brethren, as we are being likened unto or built up as living stones, as jewels, let us be very careful that we reflect the image of our Heavenly Father in every aspect of our life. Now, this is not always possible because being fallen, we do make many mistakes. And we have the example, I think there is a reprint article about the Apostle Peter. We just translated that into the Ukrainian language about the Apostle Peter. This is one man who made so many mistakes, even denying our Lord. Now, why is that placed in the Bible? This is to give us a lesson, dear brethren, that we are not perfect, and let us not expect perfection of our brethren. Sometimes we do, but we sooner or later learn that we should not expect perfection from them. And I think the picture there that the Apostle Peter, being one of the pillars in the church, made so many mistakes, and yet his heart was in tune with the Lord. And we know that he asked for forgiveness. And I think that his death, he didn't want to be crucified as Jesus was, but with his head down. So the Lord really is reading our hearts. We may judge outwardly, but let us be very careful with our brethren. Let us help them, dear brethren, that they may become living stones, jewels, and whatever polishing that they may have, that we may have a little bit of oil with that polishing. When two stones get together, and if there was no oil between them, I'm sure they would get burnt. But when we possess the Holy Spirit, and these stones rub one against the other in our class experiences, brother with sister, or sometimes there are arguments and one thing and another come up, we have to be careful. The Lord permits this. But what is the end result? Do we part, or do we say, well, I got myself into a predicament, I better straighten this thing out? So we have to learn to straighten these things out, brethren. Sometimes husband and wife, children, we run into all these different experiences. Even little things come up in life which make us nervous, upset us. And we as new creatures, we have to be very careful in order that we may be acceptable before our Heavenly Father. We'd like to take another lesson of children. Our Lord likened unto children. Matthew, the 18th chapter. And we know how the characteristic of children, they're so innocent, especially when they're still small. They're really innocent. And they do so many things that maybe upset the parents, but yet they're children. And parents do understand children. And our Heavenly Father, our great Father who art in heaven, and we are his children. And how does he look at us? You know how children play and they do various things and they go home crying and they may bust a window and the parent looks at that and, well, so what do they do? That, even if they give them a spanking, it's always with a hand of love. Never to hurt. So let us remember that, dear brethren, that we should be of that characteristic. And we read in the 18th chapter from 1 to 11, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. My, what an illustration. Likened unto children. Not that we're to act as children, brethren, oh no. But in character. Children forget and forgive very quickly. They could be crying at one moment, and next thing we know, they're laughing and hugging each other, helping each other, and playing again. They don't know any difference between black or white or colored or nationalities or religions. I remember visiting some brethren in Vancouver, and there happened to be a Protestant family and a Catholic family, and the mothers were one against the other and didn't want the children to play one with another. But the children didn't understand that. And when the mothers were away, the children would play. And here we have the beautiful picture, dear brethren, that Jesus likened us unto children. And these are very simple illustrations, but how good they are for us that we could understand them, to become as children in character, to forgive. I'm not going to read all of it because I'd like to cover a little more. You could put this down and read Matthew 18, 1 to 11. We'd like to turn to John, the 13th chapter, 33 to 35. There's so many places mentioned in the Bible that we are little children, calling even the consecrated little children. John 13, 33 to 35. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye may also love one another. And this portion of love, brethren, we hear so much of in our discourses from various brethren, and it is very interesting, but yet we seem to love some more than we love others. And this is natural. Jesus, we think, loved some of the apostles a little more than he did others. But yet we have to be very careful that we love everybody, even our enemies. And sometime among the brethren we see little differences, little groups, little huddles here and there, and sometimes we don't meet all our brethren at convention. We should try to make it a practice talking to all the brethren at convention time, not just to our locals, but talk to every brother. Try to do that at convention time. Go to every brother and sister and meet him. Even if you don't know them, introduce yourself and get to know your brother and your sister. Maybe some are shy, and maybe some just don't have the talent to approach another brother. But do that. And this way you'll show that you do have love to everyone, not just to those that are closest to you. So we have the, we are likened unto children. I'd like to give you more texts that you could have reference and read for yourself at home. 1 John 2, 1, 7 through 11. 13th, the 18th verses, also 1 John 4, 4, and 1 John 5, 21. In reference to children, we are to be likened to a light. And we read in Matthew 4, 16, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of the death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we believe the great light bearer was our Lord. And then we read in the 5th chapter and the 14th through the 16th verse, and the Lord tells us, not only is he the great light, but he also tells us that ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now some come to us and tell us, well, you know, being a Christian it's not too popular. Anywhere you go, you have to sort of go swim against the current. That is true. But yet, dear brethren, what is in the Bible? What do we want? What do we need? We need life. We see ourselves when we are 20, 30, 40, and after 50, you can start to see wrinkles in your face. 60, you become maybe ailments. 70, you're not feeling that good, and then 80, you may live to 80. So we need life, brethren. And this is why it's so precious to us that we have life through Jesus. Yes, when the man is young, he thinks he is very smart, you may put it bluntly, but yet when time goes on, and I've seen in my lifetime, brethren, so many people who thought that they were knew very much, they found out in their later lives that they better start to change their thinking, way of thinking. So to us, those that have consecrated, brethren, we are very happy that we have come to the fountain of life. And we have a blessing now. We know how to conduct our lives. We know how to act among people. We know how to conduct ourselves. We are polite, and we know what to tell them. We know how to respect them, and also that life should flow from us, the gracious words, that they'd like to be with us. And we try to help them. So this is something which is in the Bible, dear brethren, that people are a dying race, and we're trying to help them by example, by maybe giving them something to read, or even helping them literally, that as Jesus did, going about doing good. And this is what is meant here by us being lights, that we may let our light shine. Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse. That we should let our light shine. For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Oh yes, dear brethren, wherever we go, we are a light. We are a different people. And we want to remember something which I found in my experience, brethren. You may be working with worldly people. People that may swear and smoke and, you know, we find ourselves in various circumstances. But yet, if we are the light of the world, there's a way that you can overcome this. If you are working with people who swear, you try and swing the conversation around to something else. You are in command. We are God's chosen people, and we can do those things, and that the person would never know what has happened. So let us be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, that we can conduct ourselves properly wherever we may be. Maybe we have a family who is not consecrated. They may invite us to supper, and yet we may say, well, I will not go. Let us go and see them. I'm sure we can tell them something good. Spend an evening with them or a few hours, but conduct yourself in the proper manner. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to them. Maybe they won't like you, that's fine, but they, as time may go on, they may remember you, that different people, they may have various trials in their lives, and which will change their way of thinking too. So we must always be on the alert, that we may be, let our light shine. And especially that we may let the light of truth shine forth, and tell them why we're having these problems in the world, why this darkness and gloominess, as Joel tells us in 2:28, the day of the Lord. Our Lord is present, and He comes to destroy. Daniel 2:44. As we notice on the plan, everything is falling, because He will be setting up the 5th universal kingdom. He is here. And our King is marching on, dear brethren. Let us have that strong faith. Let us not doubt. And be careful that we are on His side with Him, proclaiming and being very careful, knowing how to act and how to conduct ourselves wherever we are. As our time is approaching, I'd like to... We have pictures of the bride and laborers and the virgins, living epistles, salt. I'd like to dwell a little upon the palm tree. This is found in Psalms 92 and 12. That we are likened unto a palm tree. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Now, I'm sure many of us have seen palm trees, if not literally, well, pictures of palm tree. There are over 1,500 species of palm trees, some from a height of 5 feet and some to a height of 100 feet. But let us take one that's the highest. Let's take the one, we'll use the illustration of the one that is 100 feet high or whatever. And when, if we look at the palm tree, we may not think too much about it. But if it's stated in the Bible that the righteous shall flourish as the palm tree, there must be something significant about a palm tree. There are date palms, coconut palms, and many other types of palms that bear various fruit. The palm tree, the leaves are always green, and we know that symbolizes to us life. Emerald green, showing life. The breeze through the leaves make music. The palm is a very beautiful looking tree. There's also mention of palms in Exodus 15:27 and Deuteronomy 34:3. I will not read this as I do not have time. Uprightness and beauty of women was likened unto a tall, thin palm. Palm is thin, and Tamar means palm in Genesis 38:6. Now the uses of a palm, the long trunk is used for lumber. The bark was used to make rope. The leaves, they made baskets. Some leaves, they made umbrellas. Some leaves were so large that they could cover a house. Some palms produce wax. Some palms produce resin, starch, sugar, wine, and was used as food. The date, there are date palms, a fruit used very much and is very good. Coconut palms, which we know are used quite extensively. Milk from the coconut palm was used for milk. Palm trees produce palm oil. So what we see here, brethren, they're very useful. A palm tree was very useful in olden times, maybe not so much now. Why the palm tree? Why not the oak or the maple tree? It is a very peculiar tree. Straight, a bit of green at the top, fruit, and we are likened unto a palm tree. And mentioned in Titus 2:14 that we are peculiar people. And God has chosen those that will be growing upright, straight, very high, thinking about heavenly things. The palm tree has very little root. It does not send roots down. It shoots up heavenward. They are not rooted into the ground, into this earth. No. Because their citizenship is in heaven, but they grow high. Beautiful leaves, green leaves, showing forth life. Not many wise, it's a very plain tree. And the same with us, not many wise have God chosen, 1 Corinthians 26:31. To the worldly wise, our Lord had no beauty, Isaiah 53:3. Something different about a palm tree. And we as new creatures in Christ, we are a special type of creation, a new creation, something that is selected from this earth, bypassed the angels, and has come down to earth to select those who will be on the highest heavenly plane with God, blessing mankind. And I'm sure you and I, dear brethren, have had very many different experiences in life, little experiences, which will be so helpful to understand mankind and to help and bless them. Little things of life sometimes disturb us a little more than big things, like becoming nervous. Can you overcome that? Any little thing that comes up, we become irritated. Now, we have to overcome these things, brethren, as time goes on, and try to not to murmur nor complain as we read in our morning resolve, which is not that easy. But I'm sure that as time goes on, and as we strive to grow in the Lord and become likened unto, we will strive to be more in the likeness of Jesus and try to become a copy of Jesus. This is our pattern. We're not looking at anyone else. We're not looking at the Apostle Paul, even though the Apostle Paul mentioned that they should not follow him but follow Jesus as he followed Jesus. And yet we have many brethren that we could take, that could be a very good help to us, that we can see how they have progressed in the truth. It grows heavenward, setting our affections on things above, Colossians 3:2. Palm trees tower above other trees, proper dignity, lovelier and holier thoughts, Philippians 4:2-6. They are higher in the eyes of God than the rest of mankind. A palm tree is always green. It's an evergreen filled with life. The palm tree does not cast a shadow, does not interfere with the growth of other trees. True brethren will not hinder others in the progress of the truth. We will help them. The older brethren will help the younger brethren who are coming along in the way. We will rejoice when we see our young brethren coming up and helping us. Let us help them. Let us never be jealous, brethren. Oh, no. And I think there's a man of text in September that jealousy is cruel as the grave. Let us be radiant. Let us help the young and the old, and let us help one another and grow as the palm trees. Palm tree does not shade the sun, lets the sun and the rain come down around it. The truth, people have the sun of the plan of God, understanding and shared with others. They do not retard spiritual growth. Palm tree is the softest tree at the core. So it should be with us. Soft-hearted, compassionate. We should have a loving disposition. Do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. What a peculiar people, dear brethren. Oh, the palm tree has the fewest and the smallest roots, like a beet. A beet has only one small little root going down. It has the least hold upon the earthly things. Are we interested more in earthly things? Do we count all as dung? Philippians 3:7-9. All it gets growth from is from the ground is to push it up. So with us, enough for living and to consecrate our lives, growing higher and higher in the sight of God and man. We should be content with whatever we have. And if the Lord provides more, this will be used, I'm sure, in the Lord's service. Palm tree root will not be easily choked. If you put a stone on it, it'll find its way out and around the stone and grow up. So with us, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31-35. We should not be easily discouraged, whatever problems we may have in our lives. No obstacles should be in our way. So, dear brethren, there are many more illustrations that we could use and have, and yet we are so happy that we are enlightened. We are called out of darkness into this marvelous light and have come to know God's plan of the ages. And I'm sure that we are still growing. We make many mistakes. But we want to remember that we have to become likened unto jewels, as we have read before, unto stones, to become meek as sheep, become prepared as the bride, to be the salt of the earth, to be laborers in the vineyard, servants, whether he's an elder or a deacon. Brother Russell, when he had his own meetings, he put tracts under his arm, and away he went with the rest of the brethren, distributing them among the houses. He didn't wait for other brethren to work. Oh, no. He put tracts under his arm, and away he went with the brethren. Helped them. We're all brethren in Christ. As little children. Virgins. Oh, how, what a beautiful picture. Light of the world. Soldiers of the cross. In Ephesians, we have, in the sixth chapter, we have the armor that we are to put on. Oh, we need the armor, brethren, because the devil is around us. He wants to put us down, but no way. Fruit trees, bearing fruit, likened unto fruit trees. Living letters, and likened unto a palm tree. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Herchuk, for the lovely lesson that we had in connection with the various aspects of Christian character development, which, if pursued, will eventually all lead us to the character likeness of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for the lesson, and I'm sure we have much there to think about. In the way of announcements, any brethren who will be requiring transportation to get them to the public facilities, such as the airport or the railroad depot or the bus station, would kindly make it known to any of the, either to the chairman or to the deacons of the ecclesia, and we'll make arrangements accordingly. Now may we sing the first and last verses of hymn number 171. We will have about 30-minute intermission, and then we'll promptly reconvene for the closing discourse of this convention. Hymn 171, first and last, will arise on the last verse.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We humbly and reverently bow before thee at this time, giving thee thanks for all the many blessings that we have received from thee, and especially for the gift of thy dear Son, and that thou hast called us out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and trust that thou wilt help us further. Give us strength to carry on as soldiers of the cross, not being discouraged, but holding forth the light of truth. We pray that we may be a help to our brethren, to encourage them. We all have our failures and weaknesses. We all need help and encouragement one from another. And such conventions as these is the place where we can receive all these encouragements through the various brethren who break forth the bread of life on various subjects, that we may learn more. Maybe even one word may be to us an encouragement to press on. So, we give thee thanks for all the many blessings. We give thee thanks for this convention and pray for the rest of the dear brethren wherever they gather in convention. Help them and bless them, and also the brethren of the world over, that we may together continue faithful until the end. We ask and pray all these blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.